bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
There is a raw food restaurant about 45 minutes from me. I try to go a couple times a month because it is absolutely insanely delicious. For example, I had this whoopie pie that was made with like a cashew cream and almond flour and coconut oil and cacao. They make this lasagna with zucchini and again, cashews and lemon and all kinds of great stuff. And I thought, I wish I could do this. Well, holy cow, now I can because I got the fantastic book, Love on a Plate, the gourmet uncookbook, raw vegan versions of the most favorite meals in the world. It is by Kara Brotman and Marcus Rothkrantz, who join us now. Hello, you beautiful people. Welcome to Talk Healthy Today.
Thank you.
You guys are going to save me so much money because I have to say, I'll take a friend out and it'll be like $60. And like we each had an entree and then we split a dessert. I mean, it's off the charts crazy, but it's so flipping good and everything's organic. So I thought when I could do this myself because I was so impressed. So, you know, Marcus, Kara, I've seen you guys and I think you're both amazing. Oh, is it Kara or Kara? I don't want to mispronounce it.
Kara.
Great. And so I've seen you, you're both absolutely drop dead beautiful and you just radiate health. So Marcus, I'd love for you to tell us, how did you come to this way of eating?
Different than Kara. She was eating right her whole life. I was the opposite. I was the junk food person who grew up eating just the standard American diet. And I always tried to be the good little boy. I never tried to do anything wrong. I never smoked, never did drugs, never did coffee, cigarettes. To this day, I've never touched any of that stuff, or alcohol, nothing. And I was dying by the time I was in my 20s. Literally, my body was falling apart, and I needed glasses thicker than the inch of my car. I was bleeding when I went to the bathroom. It was bad. I mean, I had lungs filled with fluid. You name it, I had it. And it took me a while to figure out it was what I was eating. It was the bread, the pasta, the cereal, the sugar, the milk. And it's like the last thing people think about, like what they put in their fuel tank. And that's what it was. And as soon as I took that out, all that stuff started going away. And it was a journey of discovery for me. And I said, okay, this is big, because most people in the modern world have no clue why they're getting sick and dying. And a lot of people, including myself, have lost a lot of loved ones because of this simple thing.
And for me, the toxins in our environment is now off the charts, and antioxidants subdue what's wrong in our bodies, and because of that, 100% of my diet is loaded in antioxidants. Because of what type of world we're living in, you know? And I know raw food might be a little bit more expensive than, let's say, eating at a regular conventional restaurant, but the way I look at it is you either pay a little bit more now or you pay a lot more later, not only with your money, but with your health and your quality of life.
Oh, that is such a good point. Well, that's why I was so excited to get the book, because I'm still going to go to that restaurant because it's amazing. But I want to be able to do this myself. And when you look at the things you have in the book, before we jump into those recipes, I'm so glad that you have this section, things to always have available. You have a Vitamix blender, a dehydrator, a coffee grinder, an offset spatula. I like that. Celtic sea salt, cashews, almonds, so many great things. And when you have those things in the house, obviously it's going to make it easier to make these recipes.
Right. That section is really helpful. And also, if you notice at the bottom of the book, where we have recipe videos showing exactly how to create those recipes, which is really cool, too.
Oh, that is great. You know, I have a food dehydrator and I haven't used it yet. And now I'm going to. My husband's like, dude, can we put that in the basement you've never used? And I'm like, I'm going to, I swear.
Yeah. You know, it's not that big of a deal. It's they're cheap. Oh, you can get them for as cheap as $30 or up, you know, like $400. I mean, you can get them at Walmart. I mean, there's cheaper ones are not as dependable, but there's no excuse. I mean, there is really no excuse for not eating the way every other living thing on the planet eats.
That is such a good point. Well, I think sometimes people can be intimidated. And, you know, when you look at these recipes, they look so incredibly beautiful. One of the things that you have for the basic elements is you have something called Irish moss. Now, I had this great pudding at another, like, sort of raw food, kind of some cooked food, but all vegan. And it was coconut milk, Thai young coconut. It had Irish moss, cacao, and like Celtic sea salt, and that was it. Tell us about Irish moss for people who aren't familiar, and how do you utilize that?
It's a seaweed, and it's very high in a thickener that makes it kind of like a collagen. It's actually good for collagen for your skin. It's a thickener that gels up so you can make pudding and cheeses, and we use it for a lot of stuff, and it's really good. It's one of the highest sources of minerals. Seaweeds are one of the best things you could have, and it's just a superfood.
Yeah, and even though you can use it as a thickener, we don't. Sometimes we just put it in our smoothie just to utilize the nutrients in Irish moss because there's so many minerals in it that's really beneficial. So any way we can get vitamins or minerals into us, we do. We want to live as long as possible and feel as good as possible. So that's what we're about. But we want to make it taste good.
Oh, exactly. And before we jump into that, because I'm looking at this pumpkin ravioli, the unchicken tacos, the Indian feast. I mean, there's so many good things in here. Marcus, what was it like when you first went from eating the standard American diet to eating this way? And how long did it take you to feel really good?
Well, I think I had the standard, the same reactions most people would have is like, I don't want to give up my pastry and my bread and my cheese, mm-hmm. my pizza. I mean, the Pop-Tarts, I grew up with that. I don't want to, like, everybody thinks health food is carrot sticks and celery and stuff that tastes like cardboard, you know, and it takes a lot to prepare, and it's just basically boring hippie food. And that's the hardest thing to get over is the mindset that it tastes less fun than the stuff you're used to. It was a kind of a shock for me when I found out, wow, this actually tastes better, more exciting. It could be just as sweet, just as good tasting, the same texture, everything as the junk food. The only difference is you don't get sick afterwards. You don't age. You don't, all the side effects from the other stuff is not there. You have energy all day long. You sleep better.
You don't experience brain fog after you finish this a meal of raw foods like you do with cooked foods.
I'm glad you mentioned that because that brain fog could be a problem. Now, I have some food sensitivities, so this is heartbreaking, but I am sensitive to nuts. And that, I tell you, that's the worst
You can fix that. That just means your liver needs cleaning. Yeah, it's all these things that people say is an excuse for not eating this way, that can be fixed, almost all of it. And food allergies, I've got an ebook on that. It's a liver issue, and that comes from eating certain foods that we're addicted to that we need to stop, and the liver needs to be cleansed. Because that's your body filter. It's like the oil filter in your car. If it gets clogged, something's not going to work right. But as soon as everything works right in the body, those aren't an issue anymore. And it's just I could get into all the things that people do secretly on the side that they don't talk about that they should be not doing. See, I always say health is not what you take in, like magic herbs, pills, whatever. It's what you stop doing. And everybody has something that they do that they just can't stop. It's bread, cheese, pizza, coffee, energy drinks, whatever it is. There's always those few last things that they're hanging on to that they can't let go of. And those are the things that, you know, drops in a bucket. They add up, and eventually the bucket's full, and then they wonder what the problem is.
Well, I definitely want to figure this out because when you're doing the raw food, so many recipes do have nuts. Now, it is Foodie Friday, so I want to jump into some of these. Let's talk about pumpkin raviolis. Kara, tell us about these.
Well, the pumpkin ravioli, I'm so proud of. I accidentally invented it over 20 years ago by accident. But it's a butternut squash. It's not actual pumpkin. I found the butternut squash tastes better when you just thinly slice it, marinate it in a little olive oil, stick it in a dehydrator, which is just a box that blows warm air for an hour or so. Then it becomes soft, and then you fill it with this rich cashew cream cheese or a Brazil nut, walnut cheese that's been spiced, and then you cover it and put it back in the dehydrator and let it, dehydrate for a little bit more. And it just tastes like the most richest, cleanest, satisfying, most delicious ravioli you've ever had. It's vegan. It's raw. It's not cooked. It's no animal products. you can really taste such an amazing difference in between this food and cooked food, or as far as vegan food, it tastes just so clean, and the ingredients are just so pure. You could taste it.
Oh, that sounds great. You know, I was watching your video reel, and you've been on so many national shows, and I love seeing the host reactions. I wish I had a bunch of food in front of me. That's the problem with radio. But anyway, like, I want to eat everything. So the breakfast, you had un-bacon and un-eggs, but tell us about that un-bacon, Marcus, because those hosts were going nuts over it.
Oh,
it
yeah.
Really good.
That was a fun, and so easy to make. It's like one of the easiest things to make. You just take fresh coconut meat, and you just paint some sauce on it and put it in the hydrator, and like, and then you've got all this bacon, and you can make it like flexible or crispy, and it has the same look, the same taste, and you can take it on the road, you know, as your jerky, and it's just amazing. How versatile. Oh, by the way, cashews are not nuts, by the way, and so you can sneak up.
Oh, really?
It's a legume. It's a legume.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
oh,
you can.
Oh, I like legumes.
Yeah, and those are
really good because they have... What are some of the spices? Go ahead. And then I'll go back to bacon.
Those are good for everything because they have a kind of a buttery texture that you could use for making everything from milk to cheese to cake to cheesecake to icing on the cake. Yeah, it's amazing stuff.
All right, well, tell us what is in the sauce that you put on the coconut meat. Like, how do you make it taste bacon-ish or like bacon?
Oh, it's just a little soy sauce, a little paprika, and...
Chipotle. The secret is the chipotle.
Yeah, chipotle powder. That's it. It's so simple. It's three ingredients. You just paint it on there. And if you really want to make it look like bacon, you paint stripes on there. You got like the white and the brown stripes. And then you put it in the hydrator, and you walk away. And you come back a few hours later, and voila, you got bacon.
It's really fun and challenging replicating foods that people are used to. Making them raw foods. It's challenging, but it's possible. We've done it with almost every recipe we could think of, right, Marcus?
Yeah, we did creme brulee, we did chocolate cake, we did pizza. I mean, pepperoni. I'm really proud of the pepperoni. It tastes and looks just like real pepperoni, and it's so good, as a matter of fact, that we stopped having to make pizza to have it, so we just make just pepperoni and we slice it up and take it with us on our trips because it's a great travel food too.
Although your pizza is amazing, that was like a weakness as a teenager. I always loved pizza, but I don't like pizza anymore after tasting this pizza in the cookbook. Oh my goodness, I've never tasted a raw pizza that actually tasted like pizza until now. I'm most proud of your pizza.
Well, tell us about this pizza. That's some Marcus pizza. I'm looking at it right now.
Well, most raw food pizza, it's like the crust is like cardboard. It's hard and it doesn't taste. It's not pizza.
Nothing,
you know,
like real pizza.
And so I said, okay, let's get right to this. Let's make the pizza just like pizza. So it's got the flexible, doughy, wheat-like crust, which we did. Then we add the tomato sauce, which we make.
Well, tell her what the crust is made out of.
It's basically coconut meat and chia seeds.
A flax seed.
Really?
Oh, chia seeds, right.
Yeah. So,
which is so good for the body also, so that it's not wheat or gluten that's going to give you celiac disease.
Right, and then we make the cheese from cashews, basically.
And pine nuts.
And a little bit of nutritional yeast. And the tomato sauce is handmade, and then we make the pepperoni, and then you add whatever else you want in there, like red onion, or I personally like bits of pineapple on there.
But it doesn't need much because you just got all those flavors going
on. Yeah, yeah. And I'm amazed how normal people out there say it looks and tastes just like as good as pizza or even better. And you know how people like to eat cold pizza too. Well, you can have it warm out of the hydrator or eat it cold. Like you don't even have it. The cool thing is you can make it and then eat it right away. You don't even have to put it in an oven or heat it because there's your cold pizza.
Yep.
And that's actually another thing that people get wrong about raw food. They think it's cold. It's raw, so it's cold. No, you can heat it up to 118 degrees because that's the secret. Anything above 118 degrees, you're killing the enzymes. The perfect example I always do is if you take an apple, plant it in the ground, you get an apple tree. If you bake the apple and plant it in the ground, it's dead. Nothing happens. So there's something that happens with high heat that kills the life force in the food. Therefore, if you what most people do with their food is they heat it in an oven or on a stove at 350 degrees, and they've killed it. So
And then they let it cool to 118 before they eat it.
Which is kind of silly. That's just like having hot water, like scalding hot water coming out of the shower, so they have to mix it with cold water so it's you know, something you can tolerate. Well, the food that we eat, the normal temperature that we can stand is usually 115, 118 degrees, so we're not depriving ourselves of warmed food. And as a matter of fact, a hot tub is 101 degrees, so this is actually warmer than a hot tub. So,
yeah, a lot of people think that when we talk about raw foods, they're thinking that it's as cold as, like, we take it right out of the refrigerator and start eating
it,
and that is not the case.
No.
They think it's cold. No, it's the same temperature as people eat their regular food at, cooked food. But I'm also very proud that the pasta ruined it for regular pasta, too. There's a raw pasta, a couple of raw pasta recipes in there that will completely make somebody not want to eat cooked glue again.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, tell us about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Well, what do you put in the pasta that you guys make?
Well, we thinly slice zucchini, and once you you peel the skin off, it's white. It's just like pasta. You make it into pasta consistency by sprinkling a little salt on it. It softens it up. Then you have this.
You basically use a potato peeler to cut thin strips
of zucchini, and that is the zucchini noodles are your pasta. And if you see the pasta Alfredo or pasta and cheese sauce picture in there, oh my gosh,
is
better than any cream Alfredo cooked pasta out there. I mean, it's comparable.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to try that. I had something recently like that was amazing. And you're right, it was not cold. I had that at that restaurant that I was talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I want to jump in the last few minutes. I love that you have a kids section, macaroni and cheese, Pop-Tarts, SpaghettiOs, and broccoli and cheese. But this is completely different and completely healthy and completely delicious. So let's look at Pop-Tarts. I mean, that's something
my mom
was a health food nut when I was growing up. So I think I've had it once in my life. So.
I grew up on Pop-Tarts and I actually, now that you said that, I'm going to make some in the next day or two because I'm jonesing for some more. It's so easy to make, and it tastes just like it, and it's so easy. It's so funny. There's a video where it was in one of the TV shows where I go, Carol will now demonstrate how to make the raspberry filling. So she just throws some frozen raspberries in a blender, go, okay, we're done. There's the filling. It was like, it's that easy. It's not like, this isn't like rocket science. It's not, you know, if it's not super sweet, I mean, it's got a little bit of sweetness, but you can always add a little maple syrup or whatever, but it's not a complicated thing to do, and it doesn't take a long time.
And if I had one wish, I swear, I would wish that my little guy, who is almost 30 now, I wish he was a little boy again so that I can make him Pop-Tarts for breakfast like this before he goes to school so I could be making this amazing food for him. But if you have a child, if you made him Pop-Tarts or any of these, or the chocolate pudding or cake or any of these recipes for breakfast, they'd be eating 10 times healthier than any other person in that entire school, and they'd be better off. It's got all the nutrients in it, and it's dressed up as fun and tastes great. I'm just so proud of the book. And I wish I had a child. I'm sorry, go on.
Oh, no, I was going to say you should be proud. It's so beautiful. I'm excited because I have a 12-year-old daughter, and I can't wait to be making all of these things for her. She's going to love it because she loves that restaurant too. Now, SpaghettiOs, holy cow, that was a big one for me. I mean, my mom was a health food nut, but somehow she bought me SpaghettiOs. No Pop-Tarts or any of the other junk. But boy, was I like an addict. Tell us about your SpaghettiOs.
I used to eat those cold right out of the can.
Who didn't?
Yeah. Oh, God, me too.
No, we figured out so many ways to make all this stuff. And it's, I mean, and actually, the SpaghettiOs sauce is very similar to the pizza tomato sauce. They're very similar. Just make slight little changes to it. And it's all a matter of just taste and consistency, taste and texture and the look of it. And I'm an artist. That's what I do. It's like you're sculpting food is what you're doing, you know.
That's a beautiful way to look at it. Now, let's talk a little bit more about the dehydrator, because it seems like that this is something that you really need to have if you're going to be making these raw foods. Like, it's not something that you might want to get. You have
to get it. It's a basic thing. People think, oh, I can't afford it. I don't have one. Well, geez, it's like, what, $30-$40 for a dehydrator?
But people, every person in this country has a microwave.
Right, right. And they have a cell phone and they have all this other stuff. But it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just a plastic box that has a little heating element in it and then a fan that blows stuff around. It's really simple, and all it does is dry food at a low temperature, which is no different than a tree dropping its fruit on the ground on a hot day, and then the hottest day in the hottest place, which is like Death Valley, it never gets above 118 degrees. So if you took a dried fruit that fell off a tree that fell, you know, in the desert somewhere, and you planted it, it would still grow. It still has life force in it. So that's the difference between a dehydrator and an oven, where you just kill things to death. You know, you've killed it.
That's a good point. And we don't want to be doing that. All right. I'm so excited about this book. I can't wait to jump in. There's just every recipe looks incredible. And again, it's a gorgeous book. I highly recommend it. Love on a Plate, the gourmet uncookbook, raw vegan versions of the most favorite meals in the world. Kara Brotman and Marcus Rothkranz. Kara, tell us all the ways we can learn about you and this great book and Marcus and all the awesome stuff you guys are doing.
Oh, Marcus has like dozens and dozens of different websites all over.
But just send him the main one, which is healanything.com or healthycookbook.com.
And we're always working on new, inspiring, really fun, exciting cooking recipe videos for people to really inspire them to, you know, change their habits and, you know, see what healthy food, how it makes them feel when they change their diet. And that's what we're about.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I think it's great. And I love what you're doing. And I'm going to make those Pop-Tarts for sure for my daughter. So I'm going to get my food dehydrator. I think it's in the basement. I'm going to look. He better not have given it away. But if he did, I will get another one, because I just felt intimidated. But now I feel like there's nothing I can't do in the kitchen. And you folks have made it possible. So I want to thank you so much. And I want to thank everyone for listening to Talk Healthy today. Please go to iTunes and subscribe and rate and review. It really helps the show. I'd love for you to get involved on social media with Talk Healthy Today on Facebook at Talk Healthy Today Podcast, Instagram at Talk_Healthy_Today, Twitter at Talk Healthy, the number 2 and then day, and same on Snapchat. So I want to thank everyone for listening. Let's get our raw food cooking, or non-cooking going, I should say, and stay well.